Battle of Philippi. 100 years ago today, motions were being put into play for the first land battle of the Civil War, the Battle of Philippi. On the night of June 2nd, 1861, and into the early hours of the next morning, thunderstorms lashed the mountains of the northwestern Virginia and trenched the little town of Philippi, Barber County, West Virginia, named for Philip Pendleton Barber, a former Supreme Court justice and states' rights advocate. About 800 Confederate volunteers were encamped among the community's 300 or so residents. Union troops from Indiana, Ohio, and West Virginia were preparing for a two-column attack, about 1,600 men total. The two were widely separated columns, were to arrive simultaneously at Philippi at 4 a.m. A pistol shot would be the signal for the battle to begin. At 4:20 in the morning on June 3rd, cannon under the command of the 1st Ohio Light Artillery began firing on the town. The town was bedlam, and Confederate soldiers were rushing to and fro. Mounted cavalry and terrified riderless horses galloped through the streets. Civilians ran for the wooded hills. A cannonball ricocheted into the barn where the Churchville cavalry had been sleeping and slammed into the James E. Hanger's leg. Federals found him in the barn 4 hours after he was wounded, and Dr. James D. Robinson, surgeon of the 16th Ohio, performed what was likely the first amputation of the war. The Battle of the First Civil War lasted perhaps 30 minutes, and there were no fatalities, and fewer than a dozen men wounded. Tenacity, terrain, and frequently daring leadership would keep the dream of a Southern Confederacy alive for 4 bloody years, but its epitaph was already written at Philippi. Too few trying to defend too much with too little, fighting against a people in whom the bonds of union had become too strong to sever.
Thank you, John. And this is WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, and Hudson, New York, broadcasting locally and globally online at WGXC.org. Today, we're live in the Hudson studio, and this is the Art of the Hudson Valley, and I'm your host, Chad Weckler. And this afternoon, we've got a full studio. I think this is more people that have been in here at one time. Each of us has a microphone and headset, and we're talking about performance arts here in Hudson and the region. And I'd like to have John, who did the reading, introduce themselves, and we'll go around the table.
Hi, I'm John Peterson, and I'm here representing the Two of Us Productions.
I'm Laura Margolis. I'm the Artistic Director of Stageworks Hudson.
And I'm Leave Cummins. I'm one of the co-founders of Columbia Arts Team.
I'm Keith Nelson, co-founder of Bindlestiff Family Circus, or Bindlestiff Family Variety Arts, Inc.
That's a mouthful there, Keith. Actually, since I'm looking here at Keith and Bindlestiff Circus, you travel a lot.
We've been traveling, I would say, internationally for about 20 years. We started off doing national tours, spending about 6 months of the year on the road, back when gas was about $1 a gallon. The changes in gas prices and general economics have made it so our national and international touring scope isn't quite as large, but we continue to do year-round programming throughout the Empire State, around the country, around the region, and pretty much anybody that needs a little bit of circus gets us.
And you're based in Hudson or also Brooklyn?
We're based in Hudson, New York, and we also have a rehearsal warehouse space in Brooklyn, New York that we've been living in and out of for 20-some years.
Terrific. And I'm going to go to Leaf here and tell us about what's going on with you.
Sure. Well, Columbia Arts Team, we founded the not-for-profit corporation about 6 years ago. And it's run by Christina D'Elia and Sandy McKnight and myself. And we're all performers and writers and musicians. And we really wanted to found a company to showcase all the great writers, directors, musicians, and performing artists that we met Sandy and I moved up from Astoria, Queens. And Christina is a local singer here in Hillsdale, New York. And so we just met and started working with all these great people, and we thought, well, let's found a company where we can showcase and nurture these amazing artists, and also do, specifically, we showcase original work. So it's all new work, new comedy, theater, and music artists and shows that we either write, or we write with other people, or we find that other people create.
And Laura happens to have probably the only performance company that has a home that you might call a stage home.
Yes, StageWorks was very fortunate to have Kaz Incorporated, when they were still in our community, donate their industrial space to us. It's on Cross Street in Hudson, right by the train station there. And you know, I think several of the wonderful performing arts organizations that are sitting at this table have performed at StageWorks, used our space, which we're really happy about. Still trying to get those Bindlestiff guys. Our ceilings aren't quite high enough for them yet, but who knows? You know, maybe the roof will just rise someday. But yes,
maybe they could unicycle throughout your halls.
Oh, that's a great idea. We'd love that. So yes, and StageWorks. I think we're going into our 17th season as a professional equity theater company. You know, we're just so happy, you know, to be here and to be a part of this community, a part of Perform Columbia, which is a group that was started by the Chamber for all the performing arts organizations in the county. I think we've got about 24 people, not people, but 24 organizations. You know, everybody starts their summer season now, so it's very, very exciting.
And John, talk about yourself.
Well, I'm here with the Two of Us Productions, and they've been actively doing theater, dramas, comedies, and full stage musicals since 2000. We worked with Laura at StageWorks. We did Cabaret this past spring. And because we do such a diverse variety of theater, we don't have a home. So we go all over the community doing our shows.
Laura, going back to you and StageWorks, you have a pretty full season already lined up this year.
Right, we do. From June 29th through July 10th, we produce our annual short play festival, our play-by-play festival of new one acts. And gosh, I think this is I'm very bad with chronology, but I think it's about its 15th year. What it is we send out a request to playwrights to submit a one act play. It's changed throughout the years, and now it really we asked for the plays to be around 15 minutes. And then anywhere between 6 and 8 are chosen. These are all world premieres. And 4 actors play in all these, in this case this year, 8 plays. It's been wonderful. It's a way for us to, of course, produce new work, which is what our interest is, and to meet playwrights. Several of the playwrights that we've met over the years, we've produced their full-length work. Or in one case, we had a short play that it felt right that it was, you know, expanded into a full length. So we produced that. We commissioned and produced that. So it's really, really successful in that it's creatively successful, and the audiences love it. It's like a marathon in one night. And then after that, we're doing the regional premiere of a wonderful play called The Divine Sister by Charles Bush. And we're the first theater to be producing it outside of its New York production, which closed in early May. Charles Bush wrote it and also starred in it. And so anybody that knows Charles Bush's work can imagine what this is going to be like. It's totally zany, extremely funny, a little bit nasty, and you know, just very hilarious. Then we're doing a play called Tennis and Nobles by a young playwright named Ismail Khalidi. We're giving it its East Coast premiere. It was first premiered in Atlanta, it was put at the Alliance. It had won an award for young playwrights. He's not young, by the way. He's a graduate of
of a master's degree at NYU. It's just this a play that is so right for our times, and it's, you know, it's kind of the type of play that StageWorks is really, really known for. But one another exciting thing about what we're doing now is that we've started a presenting series. So, you know, to expand our season, so along with being able to provide the space for these wonderful organizations that are sitting at this table and others, it also gives us the opportunity during the winter when we do not produce to have, entertainment and performing arts at our space. So we have some fun things coming up. Spencer Day, who's a wonderful, wonderful singer-songwriter, is in June 11th. And then Hedda Lettuce, for people that know Hedda Lettuce, is going to do a performance. We're calling it Hedda Lettuce Beer Blast. Let us be proud for Pride Weekend. We're really excited about this kind of expansion of our programming.
Do you often have, for instance, the Two of Us Productions or other independent people come and make a proposal to you about something that they would like to do at StageWorks?
Well, in that, yes. I mean, but we have not co-produced. Mm-hmm. It's tricky because we're a union theater company. So, you know, what we have to abide by is sometimes not easy for organizations that are not, you know, equity organizations. But we do everything we can to, you know, to share and be helpful.
So must every actor, actress be a member of the union?
Then? No.
No?
No. Every year, we're what's called an SPT, for those that are interested, small professional theaters, that we work under an SPT contract. And so, you know, I think everybody's going to understand this now because it's been so much in the news. The SPT theaters do not have a collective bargaining agreement with the union. So every year we renegotiate. So, you know, we look at our budget, and of course everybody is anxious and concerned and challenged right now. So, you know, we look at our budget and we go, look, union, AEA, you know, we would like to have this many equity to this many non-equity. Hmm. And they either agree or they disagree. But so we are allowed a certain amount of non-union actors, which is absolutely the right thing to do. Not only is it because we're an SBT theater, you know, not theaters on let's just say larger pay scale contracts are allowed that too. It's what perpetuates our field. You know, we bring in a young actor that's not an equity. They get points toward their equity card. They get professional credits. The union wants it, perpetuates itself by young actors, you know, or new actors, let's just say, becoming union members. So it's to the benefit of everyone, and everyone at StageWorks gets paid. So it's not, no one's treated differently, whether they're equity or non-equity.
John, about the Two of Us Productions, where do you perform?
We perform all over. What we have coming up is our next installment of our Summer Murder Mysteries, which will be at the new Copaic KOA campground. Later in the summer, we'll be on the Spirit of Hudson Cruises doing some murder mysteries. And then in the fall, we're going to be doing Ragtime with a full 24-piece orchestra at the Hudson High School.
Wow, that's great.
We're very much looking forward to that, yes. Mm-hmm.
You're performing many different places. How challenging is that?
It's very challenging because you have to work with different rehearsal schedules. There's different travel. You also, it's difficult to gain an audience sometimes because we're all over the place. But we have a lot of faithful people that come in from Albany, come in from Poughkeepsie, Kingston area that have gotten to know us over the years.
And Leif, you also rove.
Yes, we're of the nomadic tribes that I share the table with, except for Laura. But as I would concur with what John just said about traveling, it presents its own number of challenges. But at the same time, I have to say one of the fun exciting things about playing at different locations and venues is that you get to know and work with these wonderful producers and owners of different venues and sort of collaborate in different ways. And you get to sort of figure out the challenges of a new space each time, which again, is challenging but also kind of exciting. One of our recent events we just did 2 weeks ago, we collaborated for the first time with Helsinki Hudson, and we did our music. It's a big music conference called the Hudson Valley Song Fest. Mm-hmm. And it's always a bit of a bear in terms of finding the right venue for that event, because it's a music conference. There are people performing throughout the day, and there are also educational panels, and then there's lunches and sort of different things in different places going on, sometimes concurrently. So it was really exciting to be able to work at Helsinki, where the whole building actually had sort of a space for each kind of piece of the event that we had. So that was really exciting. And then I also wanted to say how great it is to work with Laura and StageWorks. They've always been really, really welcoming to, I know, our company, and I'm sure others.
Absolutely.
As well. And it's also really great to feel like we're all a part of this community, all of our performing arts organizations here in the area, and we really are. And as Laura mentioned earlier, we're all a part of this cohort called Perform Columbia through the Chamber. And I feel like we're really, you know, lifting all boats, if you will. So it's exciting.
And I think we all do something a little bit different, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
our styles and things that we choose to do are all a little bit different. So there's room for us. There's room for more.
And we're complementing each other. Absolutely. And we all, I think we all have a great collaborative spirit in that way.
And Keith, you like swallowing swords at Helsinki, don't you?
Amongst other places, I swallowed swords in Lincoln Center. We ran our own. We ran the last vaudeville house in Times Square for 3 years. You know, pretty much if there's a stage, we'll go to it. But Bindlestiff is really all about traveling. I mean, this last weekend alone, we started Friday night with swallowing swords at the Pride Preview event in Poughkeepsie. Saturday, we were at a Long Island Country Club swallowing swords, actually just juggling and doing balloon animals. And then Sunday, we were at the Columbia County Land Conservancy's annual barbecue. So, you know, that's just 3 days of a different stage, different show, different mindset pretty much every day. This summer, you can find us at the Lake George RV Park, where we'll be doing Buckaroo Bindlestiff's Wild West Jamboree and Buccaneer Bindlestiff's Swashbuckling Circus, a pirate-themed show.
I'm glad you said that.
Oh, my pleasure. and also parading at the Jersey Shore. You can find Bindlestiff at casinos. But I would say our main thing that we're really looking forward to this summer is our 3 weekends at the Spiegel Tent, which is a part of the Bard College Summerscape program. If people have not been to the Spiegel Tent or haven't been to Bard College and see the Fisher Center, it's by far definitely worth a trip. The Spiegel Tent, in our mind, is one of the best places to see intimate circus cabaret anywhere. You know, if I could play one venue for the rest of my life, it would be a Spiegel Tent.
And I would say I'm sitting with a table of people who like to work with youth. And I know Bindlestiff specifically works a lot with youth programming and schools, as does Walking the Dog. And maybe David Anderson will make it to talk a little bit about that. But talk about Bindlestiff and working with youth locally.
Bindlestiff, from the day we walked into Hudson, kind of picked up with what we've been doing in New York City, which is taking circus to where there's people that want to try it and get their hands onto it. Stephanie has been running a weekly program through the youth department here in Hudson. She also teaches classes at the Morris Memorial. Speaking of walking the dog, even though they aren't here to defend themselves, past couple of years we did a thing called Ghost Walk, in which Stephanie and David and Benedicta all worked together to have youth write ghost stories, and then all the submissions were judged, and out of that 4 to 6 stories were selected, which then found teenage actors through walking the dog programming who worked with David, and then we found site-specific venues for each of these stories to be performed. And each November for the past couple years, the youth could, people would meet up wherever the tickets were being sold, and then would have a walking tour through Hudson where they would go to each of these locations and experience a ghost story written and performed by youth. This year, we're not going to be doing the Ghost Walk that weekend, though we are looking at some regional ideas in coming years for Ghost Walk. In November, we're looking at putting together, and through Chad, is in some of the things you were working on, putting together a Columbia County youth program that would be done at Helsinki. Bindlestiff has been producing youth vaudeville and variety shows for about as long as we've been around. So what we're looking at doing is reaching out to the acting, the singing, the dancing, the juggling, and circus community, you know, that's all under the age of 21 in the Columbia County region, and the plan is in November to produce a show that is all for and by the youngins.
And I've seen Stephanie put kids on stilts.
Many of the parades here in Hudson have benefited from Stephanie's work at the Hudson Youth Department. Anytime you see 8-foot kids walking around town, you can probably blame Stephanie.
See, they've been on Robinson Street. I live on Robinson
Street. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, yeah. up and down the alleys. And yeah.
Liv, what you write and you sing and you perform, what's something that you've done recently that you enjoyed?
Well, I actually was just thinking about what Keith was saying about working with youth, and I just, our company, Columbia Arts Team, really believes in bringing theater and music and comedy to young people as well, and nurturing that in young people. So one of the things we're looking forward to doing is Sandy McKnight and I, for Columbia Arts Team, we do a summer program for kids at Hudson Valley Community College. And we offer a lot of scholarships for kids. They come there throughout the whole region. What we do is for 2 weeks, we work with a group of about 25 kids to guide them to write and then perform their own one-act musical. So it's a really exciting 2-week period where we never know what's going to happen, and the kids really create their own story and their own plot and their own characters and dialogue, and then perform the whole thing, and it's really exciting to see their whole like inner world, you know, be manifest on stage. It's scary at times, but it's exciting.
Well, for all of you working with local children, is it a challenge? Do they come to you? Do you go to them? Do you go to the schools? How do you promote?
Well, with Two of Us Productions, Connie Lopez, who's one of the two of us, does, and Pine Plains, the school district there, she's the head of the drama department, and also with HVAPA, she helps them in making programming for children.
And some of your productions, the ages... are younger people, teenagers sometimes? And
that's correct. Anyone in the community can...
Do you have open auditions?
We do have open auditions, and so any age can apply. We've also helped local schools with technical and artistic aspects as well. So I think when we did Jesus Christ Superstar, there was a lot of teenagers in there that we did a whole hip-hop version of it, and so there was a lot of youths doing wonderful dancing.
I wish the audience could see John's demonstration of the dancing he's doing right now.
Speaking of challenges, can someone speak about a challenge, whether it's promotion, whether it's local talent? Is there too much talent, not enough talent?
I would say untapped talent. I think there's talent that we just don't know about.
There's never too much talent.
Right. Exactly.
I would say the problem that probably all of us face happens to be economics. In these times, especially working with youth, where we're watching school budgets be slashed, where we have seen, especially in New York City, and we're seeing it up here, arts and phys ed being removed from the school curriculum altogether. We're wondering why the kids are, you know, not being athletic and getting obese and having all these problems, and so much of it can go back to the fact that one of the first things that when there's an economic problem that we start cutting from is education. You know, for other extracurricular youth programs, you're watching the programming be slashed. When you put on top of that what are our own organizations, I just got a letter from New York State Council of the Arts and Department of Cultural Affairs telling me that the amount that they had promised for our youth programming this year is being slashed. So what we thought we had to program for this year is now much less than what we were expecting. But we're going to continue to, you know, move that programming forward. But when you cannot compensate an instructor or a director or a performer, and with Bindlestiff, we also try, especially on the working gigs, to compensate the youth and show them that entertainment is valuable. And in today's climate, the one way that you can do that is to hand a little bit of money over. So a kid, you know, going out there and walking stilts and making $20 or $50 the first time that they've had a skill that they can do, produce income, can be a magic moment. But to be able to find those opportunities is getting more and more difficult, and you know, I would say all of us at this table have found very creative ways to continue with our mission even when the money's not there.
I would say certainly with the recent county school districts and their budgets and people being alarmed about the amount in those budgets and the slashing, I think unfortunately a lot of the slashing gets done to whether it's sports, music, and the arts. Myself personally, I think the arts are very important for a young person's growth. I mean, what it's been some of the experiences here?
I mean, I can say for our company, I mean, we've seen studies, we've done research, and because we try to find evidence to you know, obviously to raise funds and support the arts in general. But obviously, I think we all know how the arts promote literacy and as Keith was saying, just physical health for students, young people, but also just self-esteem. Helping students to just figure out their voice and figure out who they are and sort of be able to develop their own identities. I mean, these things are not things that we can calculate in dollars. And I think, I mean, I'm sure Laura could speak to all their work with young people over the years as well.
I think what we're, I bet you, I mean, I've never had this conversation with everybody at the table here, but, you know, for me, and I bet you everybody has their version of this, the arts, in my case, the theater, saved my life. You know, I came from a very good family, don't get me wrong. My father was ultimately a judge, but I was on my way to some, you know, heavy-duty juvenile delinquency out of not fitting in, not having a home, not feeling I was worthy of anything. And, you know, once I found in this, as a young person, acting is where I went to, you know, all of a sudden I had a home. All of a sudden I had a voice. All of a sudden I had friends. And, you know, eventually it led to, you know, the group of us in high school, going away from our high school, renting a storefront in a mall and producing our own play. As a matter of fact, it was Tiny Alice by Edward Albee. I still don't know what that play means. I don't know how we ever thought we knew what we were doing then, but it doesn't matter. We did it. So, you know, it can be sports. It can be, you know, theater, but without giving young people options, you know, where do they... For those of us that maybe are a little odd, and who isn't, frankly, how do we find a way to fit in?
And I think often shyness is a characteristic that most, certainly I had growing up, and I found being given leadership and mentoring to be, it's okay to sing, it's okay to try and get up in front on a stage and say something, and it gives you confidence.
Exactly. You know, again, and it can be in acting, it could also be in writing. The you know, we've kind of, our working with young people for us has changed, you know, throughout the years, because at one point, I mean, I think Stagewix, I know Stagewix was here before everybody at the table, and we started out doing children's programming. It basically became where, you know, everybody else came in, and, you know, there were others that were more dedicated in that way. But when we were doing children's programming, our emphasis was on young people creating their own work. And they did. And we still have kids that, you know, all these years later are now college graduates that stop by and reminisce and talk about those moments. I mean, some of the funniest things, I still laugh. When I look at, for a laugh, I look at some of the things that we did with those kids. Now our work with kids is more high school and college kids in terms of our internship program, so that kids that are young people that are interested in this as a profession, you know, have a place to start. And that's really where we concentrate in terms of the youth. We would like to get back to, you know, having kids, young people develop new plays. It just, you know, we just need more time, more staff, more money, more everything.
Back again to funding, with state and federal funding being decreased, some of you can do tickets that take care of some of the funding aspects.
As long as the public can afford the tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is what happened with us in touring, especially when you're going across the Midwest and you're dealing with unemployment rates and then underemployment rates that are astronomical, you can no longer expect somebody in many towns to pay $20 a ticket even. Hmm. And at what point is lowering your rate making it so that you're actually losing money doing a show?
And I was just going to add to that, and I'm sure everyone here would agree, we all want our work to be available and accessible to all people. None of us, I don't think, want theater or music or the arts or the circus arts to be seen or experienced only by certain people who can afford that. Mm. Because that's when the arts changes into something that it's not, that we all want the arts to be a tool that reaches everyone and can change everyone, as Laura was saying. So I think it's really important to make those ticket prices available and accessible to everyone, whatever that means. I'm sure it's different for each of us. But I know that for Columbia Arts Team, I mean, we rely on individual donations and other ways of support that we all probably share. And we never turn anyone away. I mean, if someone can't afford something, we find a way for them to participate somehow.
How is the individual donations, that market? Is it going up, down? Is it really not tapped?
What year?
That's true.
It, like, many times it's one or two individuals that make the difference between your year being an all right year and being a year where you're eating ramen noodles again. Mm. And I think especially as you're watching individual wealth go down along much of the population, your mid-range donors aren't doing what they were able to do. Your new money folks don't know how to continue the tradition of being an art patron, and the old money folks are dying off.
Yep. If we don't nurture the arts, then there aren't going to be those new money folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a conundrum.
New audience members, don't you think, Laura? It's all about bringing in new people to understand that they want to be a part of an audience watching and experiencing the live performing arts. And I think that's one of the challenges that we face, I guess, as an organization, is that tapping into sort of a wide range of people in this area that sort of aren't used to going out and seeing live theater or seeing live performing arts. And the question is, how do you get those people to understand that they'd love it if they gave it a try, or they, it's just sort of like becoming a part of people's lives? Because the people that are theater goers, we all know those aren't the people that we have trouble tapping into. It's the people who don't see that as a part of their lives already.
Well,
the other thing is that we need a darn hotel here. Now let's face facts. We need
great
a
point,
hotel.
Laura.
If we have everything that every other community has, except
no grocery store.
Well, and that too. If you have a car, at least you can get there. But even with a car, you can't get to a hotel in Columbia County. So we need to be able to bring people in more from far and wide. I mean, I know all of us bring in audiences from, far away in other counties, but we need people to be able to come and spend the weekend, to more frequent our restaurants and our, we've got great B&Bs. We need a darn hotel to take over the overflow.
I think what I'd like to do right now is take a little break, and with that break, and we'll make it very enjoyable, to have a song that Liv, would you like to set this up?
Sure, that'd be great, Chad. This is a song from a new musical that Sandy McKnight and I wrote and directed recently at Columbia Green Community College. The musical is called The Big One, and it's a musical comedy, pop rock music. This is a song that we're going to hear from that show. It's called Day Jobs, and it's about all the characters who are struggling songwriters trying to make it.
Oh, perfect.
By night, I write. By day, I pay my dues. I work. I slave. I do what I'm told to, and all I can do is cling to the hope. The whole world will hear a song that I wrote.
I wake up, I make up my eyes, it's my disguise. I come to office and
to go on. We're only given 24 hours a day, so I take 8 or 10 of them and throw them all away, so I can eat,
so I can live,
so I can write,
so I can give.
I scratch and claw and fight. No one knows I'm living out my dreams at night. So next time you see that far off look in my eye, it just might be a hit song. It's come down from the sky. Till then I gotta keep working my day job.
This is WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, and we are live in Hudson, and this is the Art of the Hudson Valley. And I'd just like to start with Keith. Introduce yourself here and go round table.
I'm Keith Nelson, co-founder of the Bindlestiff Family Circus, and also like to throw out at this moment that my clown, Kinko the Clown, is once again running in 2012 for President of the United States of America.
Excellent.
Under what party?
I'm the block party.
Ah, good.
Wow, I can't top that, Keith, but I'm Leave Cummins from Columbia Arts Team. I'm co-founder, and we nurture new work and new artists in the area.
I'm Laura Margolis. I'm the Artistic Director of Stageworks Hudson in Hudson, New York.
I'm John Peterson, here on behalf of the Two of Us Productions.
And Laura brought up a great subject right before we went into that song. The hotel situation in Hudson, I know it does relate to what a lot of performance people are trying to do in here at Hudson, is more performances, more festivals. It's very difficult to put on a festival anywhere without people being having a chance to stay overnight. It affects the restaurants here, businesses. It helps people not have to travel 25 miles to get someplace and then come back to Hudson. And Laura, pick that up.
Just because we have so many wonderful B&Bs here, I just want to be real clear and supportive of our great B&Bs, not only in Hudson, but in all of Columbia County.
True. They're all booked, too. A lot of times when I just have two people coming in from out of town.
And thank goodness. I mean, it's so great to know that I'm sure that they have their downtimes in the winter and stuff, but, a lot more could be done here if we had a hotel. It would just kind of assure that we had some beds, and I'm sure that probably you're going to get some calls, because I know for a fact that there is you know, something happening out on Route 66 right outside mm-hmm. Hudson. I think, though, that, you know, and this is, again, isn't a criticism, it's a few years down the line. So, you know, if there's that entrepreneur sitting there listening to this, and, you know, you just go, wow, what could I just spend a whole bunch of money on? Or, you know, it's that person that wants to be in the hotel business. I encourage them, and, you know, if they can use StageWorks as airspace, I'll give it to them.
My neighbors
will kill me.
The arts and cultural businesses here is a very strong economic business.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we did that feasibility study, and what was it like? I think it was $7 million is just generated in Columbia County alone from the performing arts.
And that's part of, again, what Perform Columbia strives to do, the cohort that we're all a member of, performing arts organizations through the chamber. We're all, you know, really pulling together to try and work together with the business community here in Hudson and in the whole county to really show how the arts brings in business. You know, the arts and businesses, we need to work in cooperation with each other and help. You know, it lifts all boats. So we're all working together.
Actually, while we're thinking of it, to see our sister brother organizations, Perform Columbia has a website. It's www.performcolumbia.com. And you can, you know, just peruse it and see all of the great organizations in Columbia County.
And I believe, Laura, isn't it correct that you could go there and see what any one of us are doing this week, this month, next month? There's a clear schedule and a calendar.
Well, I think now what one does is one clicks on the individual organization.
And it goes right to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And to plug WGXC as a new voice for
Absolutely.
Production, although Keith,
I wouldn't say they're a new voice. First of all, they've been voicing for maybe under different names, but Tom and I go back 20 years of making radio and art in the streets.
Would it be difficult for Kinko to do a debate on the radio?
Kinko's a silent clown.
We could interpret for you.
Yeah, many people have interpreted for Kinko. He writes a lot. So if you go to kinkoforpresident.com, you can actually see what he says, but he doesn't verbally put it out there.
Would any of you like to have either of you done any proposals for WGXC?
What would you like us to propose?
I think what you're doing here on your show is great, yeah. By the way, Chad.
Well, thank you. Being only 1 hour a month, I'm doing my best. And we do have, normally this time every week is arts. And speaking of performance art and sound art, and I'm working on the Hudson Music Festival, which will be in here in Hudson in August. And part of a music festival is musical theater. It's performance, you know, what Bindlestiff does. I think also the transmission arts, sound. There's a lot to celebrate here locally. Mm-hmm. And I think when you were talking about the audiences, I think, demand quality. And thankfully, many and all of you are producing more artists are coming here wanting to be a part of, say, Perform Columbia.
And yes. Chad, I was just thinking, in terms of, to sort of piggyback on the music festival coming up in Hudson in August, before that in July 14th, Columbia Arts Team is having our annual event called Upstate Idol, which is our music competition. But so in that way, we really are, again, supporting young people. We often have young people, bands, singer-songwriters, sort of untested talent, if you will, come out and perform their own original songs, and they get judged by a panel. Very, very positive, encouraging words. There's no Simon Cowell's on the panel. And then they get a free recording studio session with a producer. Sandy McKnight takes them into a studio in the area and produces them. So it's an exciting chance there again to link up with the music festival in August for young people and all people to get great access to great music.
What are the dates of that?
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit more about the festival?
We're actually the website is supposed to go live tomorrow, HudsonMusicFest.com. And at that point, we'll have an online application available for any local artist, and you don't even have to live across the street. You can be in the county or the region. Anybody will, for free, apply for that application, and I'm just getting the word out to a lot of people that please come with an idea. Helsinki will be involved, and Basilica will be involved, and we're trying to put music in Hudson or any kind of performance in Hudson everywhere, day and night, over August. We're hoping to start the 11th, which is a Thursday, but certainly Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and this is the first annual one. And we just got our fiscal conduit of New York Foundation for the Arts is going to be our host. And it will only get bigger. And I, too, Laura, would like a hotel in Hudson. And having one in Greenport is also very important. But Columbia County is very short on beds. And I think that will help us all.
But yeah, just so in case I forget, you know, if we are able to help you with that, if you need another venue, we would love to have some music in our space.
Excellent. You're booked.
Okay.
And one of the things I wanted to also ask both John and Leif, your schedules are, you create your own schedules, so you don't have a home like StageWorks. How does this year, I mean, is your next year booked up, or are you still looking for possibilities?
Well, our summer's pretty much booked up, and then we do an annual fall and a spring show. The spring show is to be announced, as far as I know, at this time. And then October 21st, 22nd, 23rd, and the following weekend, we're doing ragtime at the Hudson High School.
And you take a lot of advantage of the river cruises.
The river cruise, yes, this summer, which is an amazing experience. Murder mysteries are a lot of fun, and to be able to do that on the water is just amazing.
Do you throw people over?
Yeah, I was just going to ask the same question.
Or fake people?
Come find out. We're adjudicating what shows we're going to do now, but I think we need to incorporate that idea no matter what the script is.
And also Hudson Pride will be taking advantage
Absolutely.
Of those cruises, too.
Mm-hmm.
And another economic engine right there, literally.
Yes, Hudson Pride. I think it's the second Hudson Pride. Festivity in Hudson, and it, you know, was just fabulous last year.
It gets bigger every year.
It gets bigger every year.
And I just wanted to add to what
I'm
John.
I'm proud that we have a Hudson.
That's good, Laura.
Thank
proud
you.
Proud and proud. In terms of John was saying about the two of us scheduling and being all booked up, we also have events planned through this year, but we're always looking to showcase new, specifically new singer-songwriters, bands. We have a big event in October at the Egg. We partner with the Egg, rather, in Albany, called the Capital Area Indie Fest, where we showcase new singer-songwriters and bands. So we still have a few slots open for that. So if artists would like to try their hand at showcasing their own original songs, please let us know. ColumbiaArtsTeam.org is our website.
And I'm going to try an experiment. I understand David Anderson might be on the telephone, so I'm just going to...
No.
He waited around.
We can't seem to get David in person and now on the phone.
And speaking of music in Hudson, I think another... very instrumental thing that's happening is what Rob at Music is doing, for 5 or 6 Wednesdays this summer? Starting in July with free music on the waterfront, and as an added attraction, there will be a Bindlestiff or a couple Bindlestiff performers doing strolling entertainment at each of those dates, one or two of which may be some of our youth performers showing what they got to...
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that is supported by the city of Hudson, and am I correct about that? And StageWorks will bring the Medawee River Theater Company, our annual presentation of the renowned, beautiful, beautiful Medawee River Theater Company, to the Hudson Riverfront.
Which I think is one of the most overlooked venues in this town. Like, there's many times we'll be going down there, and there'll be. You know, some cultural event happening that we had no idea, and there's sometimes 40, 50 people that if the word would have been in the community, people could, you know, try food that they never imagined being served on the waterfront of Hudson.
Yeah, all for free. All the stuff on the waterfront is for free. that's supported by the City of Hudson. So I'm sure that it'll be on the City of Hudson's website, mm-hmm. and everybody should seek that out for every, because I think you're right, about five or six different things that Rob is, I think, in charge of.
Yeah. And before we finish the hour, I'd like to go to another track. Tom, if I could have your assistance with setting up. And John, could you talk a little bit about this, what we're going to listen to?
Yeah, this is from our production of Chicago. And the song is the opening number, which is All That Jazz. And you'll hear Velma Kelly, played by Connie Lopez. And then I believe the 22 folks in the ensemble come in at the closing part of the excerpt.
Well, excellent. Let's listen.
And this was live on stage.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz, start the car. I know a whoopee spot where the gin is cold, but the piano's hot. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl and all that jazz. No, I'm no one's wife, but oh, I love my life and all the jazz. That jazz.
Well, we're getting close to the end of the Art of the Hudson Valley, and we'll get some closing comments. And John, you have an interesting one you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about when I used to live down in the city. I was I had a show in the New York International Fringe Festival, and one of my actors was friends with a guy named Magic Brian, and he was having a birthday party. So we were up on the roof, and Cornmo was playing, and he's a member of Bindlestiff Family Circus. So that was the first time that I heard of them, and now to just be in a radio station upstate New York several years later with Bindlestiff is amazing.
And what would Bindlestiff, what would be the most outrageous, attainable thing that you would like to do in the next year or two?
Most outrageous? Find a venue that's year-round in Hudson that is made to circus specs. Mm-hmm. We are extremely different than in our requirements and what most theaters think about or have as far as rigging of human weight, wire walkers, the height. I mean, in Hudson, the upstairs of the Opera House mm-hmm. and the Basilica are the only two structures that I can think of that we could probably work with to do what we dream of as being, you know, kind of where things, you know, should be, and to be able to invite all the performers that we want. Like, we love performing at Helsinki, we love the waterfront stuff, but when you want to have somebody hanging 30, 40 feet up in the air and that performer wants to be working from that height, it's a hard town to pull that off.
There's also the old tennis court, which of course was originally a movie theater. Is that one? Have you been in there?
I've been in the tennis court. I haven't seen what renovations have been happening. Yeah. And you know, as I assume it's still working on becoming a performance art.
Yeah.
But circus is, it's a bastard of illegitimate theater. We don't necessarily get along with all theaters, and we don't necessarily get along with all performance art venues, because the way we look at doing, you know, we're used to going in, putting up a tent in a day, doing a couple shows, taking the tent down and getting out. Not all venues are open to that kind of mindset.
Well, do you think, all of you, that it's possible, or can Hudson take another permanent performance?
Well, certainly, because, you know, again, we're all doing different things. So Bindlestiff would be drawing from, circus performers and future circus artists from all over, you know, the place. It's absolutely. The more we have, the higher the quality of our work, the more I think we'll be able to demand
a hotel and
tourism, absolutely.
I mean, look at the multiple venues in like Jacob's Pillow or some of these other small towns.
The Berkshires, yeah.
And if you make it, people are going to come.
And if we all, I think,
and people are going to buy houses.
It'd be so great to have another venue that we could all share, you know, in addition. So then we'd have StageWorks and then one more venue that could sort of accommodate different kinds of companies doing different works. In a slightly different location somewhere else in Hudson, and we'd all be lifted. We'd all be enriched by it.
I mean, the Basilica is an exciting, like, what's happening there is, I think, extremely exciting, and I'm intrigued to see how it goes. From the day we moved here, the promise of that as a venue has been kind of at the forefront of our forethought, because it has so much potential.
It has very high ceilings.
Extremely high ceilings, and one of the few venues in town that can have 1,000 people, an audience. So for, you know, a music event, that if you want top line entertainment to come play in Hudson, you have to pay them. If you want to be able to pay them what they demand, you need to get at least 1,000 people at an economically priced ticket to pull off the bill for some of the bands that we want here.
Mm-hmm. And I would say also, fortunately, we have time and space limited here in Hudson that has live telecasts of plays and the Met and opera.
And great youth programming, which is, I think, one thing that TSL many times has overlooked on, is that we've done circus camps there, and they've been a very strong part of the youth community.
Absolutely.
But I agree with you, we need more, because we can take more, and I think people do want more.
Right, and then of course there's all over Columbia County. I mean, McCaden and Theater Barn, and I'm going to get in trouble for not mentioning everybody, but yeah. Go to performcolumbia.com.
Well, I'm going to thank all of you for being here this afternoon, and I do appreciate your time and efforts. This has been the Art of the Hudson Valley, and you will hear me again a month from now, and you will be seeing all of our performers here all the time.
And go see a show.
Thanks for having us, Chad.
Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA. Don't let the frackin' frackers frack you, bro.
On Saturday, June 4th at 11 a.m., the Carroll Library will hold a groundbreaking to celebrate the construction of a new 7,500-square-foot facility. WGXC will provide sound equipment and record the event, which will feature a performance from the Evander String Quartet. The Carroll Public Library was founded in 1963 and has the special feature of a weekly children's story hour. The function of the Carroll Public Library is to provide the Carroll community with access to a balanced collection of books and other materials to serve their educational, cultural, and recreational needs. The groundbreaking will take place behind Carroll Town Hall at 512 Main Street, Carroll, New York. For more information, contact 622-9864 or carollibrary.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Law Office of David Seth Michaels in Spencertown, providing legal assistance in all criminal cases, including DWI and traffic infractions, in the courts of Columbia and Greene counties, 518-392-9150, davidseth.com.
If I tell you what happened to me, you will not believe it, for I do not believe it myself. I have asked myself, how did it happen? But I cannot find the answer. What I mean is, well, look at me. Look at my clothes. They're so old, they're falling apart. And my hair, it is long and white. As white as my beard. A beard which I never had before. And my voice, it creaks like a rusty hinge. Now I ask you, does that sound like Rip Van Winkle? For that is who I am, or who I think I am. Ah, but no, you wouldn't remember Rip Van Winkle. You're much too young. And no one remembers Rip Van Winkle anymore. Not even my dog, Wolf. Wait, I will show you what I mean. Here, Wolf! Wolf! Come here, like a good dog. Yeah, you see, even he does not recognize the old man who calls himself Rip Van Winkle. But then, Wolf is old, too. That's also something I do not understand. When Wolf and I started on our walk in the Catskill Mountains, he was a young dog and frisky. And that was only yesterday. Now he's old, so am I. But it couldn't have been yesterday. Are you as confused as I? And perhaps if I went back to the beginning and told you the whole story, we might be able to find the answer to everything that happened. You know, I remember everything so clearly. The morning Wolf and I started out on our squirrel hunt. Yesterday, I mean. Or the day before that. Or whenever it was. My voice didn't creak then. And my clothes weren't in shreds. My hair, it was black. And there was no beard on my chin. With the American colonies under the rule of King George III, I lived with my wife and my two children in this village at the foot of the Catskill Mountains. And of course, there was my dog, Wolf. I remember how my wife hurried about the house that morning, fixing breakfast, helping our five-year-old son, Rip Jr., dress, and braiding the hair of his 10-year-old sister, Judith. What a pretty child Judith was, with hair that came down to her shoulders. Oh, I can see her now, turning to wave as she ran down the road toward school that morning. And I waved back as I sat on the bench outside the kitchen door.
Rip?
Hmm?
Rip, do you hear me?
Oh, yes, my love, I hear you.
And you also hear that?
Yes, it's the cow.
Of course it's the cow, and she's hungry.
She's always hungry.
That's because you never feed her. That cow would be nothing but skin and bones if I didn't look after her, like I look after everything else around
here. I'm sorry, my love, but I forgot.
And you have also forgotten that fence that needs mending, and the wood that needs chopping, and the weeds that have grown taller than the cabbages.
Mm-hmm. Well, I try, but nothing seems to go right for me. I guess I just wasn't born to be a farmer, that's all.
No, you weren't born to be anything but a lazy, good-for-nothing loafer who hasn't done an honest day's work in his life.
Yes, my love.
And I must have been out of my mind when I married you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think that I'm going to do all the work around this house, then you're more of a fool than I think you are.
Yes.
Now get up from that bench, Rip. I want you to take this sack of potatoes into the village and see what you can get for it. And don't let them cheat you.
No, dear.
We have to buy food with that money, Rip. Or would you like to see your family starve to death?
Of course I would.
Well, then get up and get out of here. And take that smelly dog with you.
Oh, now you've hurt his feelings.
Oh, isn't that too bad?
Come on, Wolf. Let's go to the village.
And Rip?
Yes, my dear.
Don't stop at the inn. Do you hear me?
Yes, my love. I hear you. I think everybody in the whole valley could hear my wife when she started in on me. And when she did, about the only thing I could do to get away from her was to go squirrel shooting with Wolf up into the mountains. Well, that morning, I realized my wife was angrier than usual, and I knew she'd stay that way for a long time. So I took my squirrel gun with me when I left for the village. I figured I might as well go hunting after I sold